You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
From the Freethinker Radio, Micah here with Derek. How are you doing, Derek?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing good. I'm here in Central Texas this week. I'm not in Houston at the moment, but out here in Central Texas enjoying it.
Nice, nice. Appreciate everybody tuning in to KPFT during the drive time on Friday here in our show, a show in support to KPFT through kpft.org. A little bit goes a long way. We're definitely proud to be there and happy to reach a number of people. I'm going to put a image out on the Freethinker Radio page that shows just how far we actually reach through the FM radio. I mean, we reach a lot of people on the internet, but we reach people just tuning in as far as Livingston and out in the Bay, actually, Lake Jackson, Galveston, El Campo, Wharton, Sugar Land, all over this, giant metroplex and beyond. So we're thankful for KPFT being there, for always giving us the support that they have. And if you support what we're doing and want it out on the FM airwaves in the fourth or third largest city in America, along with the music and art that we're advancing, then, please support KPFT in the name of Freethinker Radio. Go to kpft.org and you can find a way to contribute. I know we also broadcast on other mediums as well. Derek, you want to tell people where they can catch up with the rest of our work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, of course, you can always find out about our website and our history at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Thehoustonfreethinkers.com is our main channel, and we've been pretty good at keeping all the archives up. So if you hear us one week and you want to go back and see what the last week was about or, see what we might have coming up, you can go to thehoustonfreethinkers.com. And we are also part of the Conscious Resistance Network, so you can find archives of our show also at theconsciousresistance.com. And that broadcasts out on Odyssey video streaming platform, on Rockfin, another video streaming platform, of course, on Facebook, and DLive as well. So for those of you who are plugged into all the alternative streaming platforms on the internet, you can find us those places. And we got a big show today, Micah. I mean, it seems like as we were putting together tonight's show, we're noticing a general theme that we're going to get into here. The first few stories are maybe a little bit more, I guess, I don't want to say normal, but they're a little bit more relative to COVID-19, the things we've been covering the last few years. But the bulk of the show, we're going to focus on inflation. We're going to talk about gas prices. We're going to talk about food insecurity. You know, for myself, I'll just say now, I'll share more later, but it's been kind of interesting, almost a little bit of culture shock coming back to the U.S. after being gone for 5 months, really living in Mexico 2 years, but I've been gone for 5 months straight while a lot of recent changes have been taking place, and just coming home and saying, wow, gas prices are $4 or $5. This is crazy, because Houston and Texas are usually pretty safe from those things. So we'll get into all that and more today on Freethinker Radio. And of course, as Micah said, we're going to be playing some music for you guys. But before we get into the first couple of stories, I do want to mention a couple of events that are coming up. One is related to Houston and one is happening in Central Texas, which is where I'm at right now. It's called the Exit and Build Land Summit. So even as you're hearing this Friday afternoon on 90.1 KPFT Houston, or whenever you hear it, you can still check it at exitandbuildlandsummit.com. And it is a 3-day event. First 2 days don't cost anything, Friday and Saturday. And I think you can watch the archives. And it's going to be people speaking about how to, everything from real estate agents talking about how to go about buying land in Central Texas or in Texas in general, to people talking about why it's necessary, and other people talking about permaculture, and people sharing homesteading skills. And you got people like Joel Salatin of Polyface Farms, Joel Skousen, who's the guy who wrote Strategic Relocation all those years ago. I'll be giving a talk, John Bush, some different people talking about technology, lots of really exciting things. So I'm here in Central Texas this weekend for that event. Again, if you want to catch up on that, that's exitandbuildlandsummit.com. And then I just want to shout out two other events that are coming up next weekend that we'll be talking about on next week's show. We've been telling you about one of them for a couple of weeks now. That's the Crimes Against Humanity Tour, guys. This is happening in 9 cities across the United States, including Houston, Texas. And it's coming to Houston on May 21st. So not quite next weekend, but in just a couple of weeks here. And it's, again, the Crimes Against Humanity Tour. It is actually next weekend. Wow, time's flying, Mike. But next weekend, Friday, Saturday the 21st, in the Woodlands, the Crimes Against Humanity Tour featuring Patrick Wood. We played an interview with him last week that you can find on our website with Dr. Judy Mikovits, Reiner Fulmich of Germany, and Dr. Richard Fleming. It's organized by Conscious Events Global, and we spoke with them a couple of weeks ago as well. You can find that at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. And they are coming to town for a full day of events talking about the various things about COVID you might not have heard about on NPR and other mainstream corporate media. So you can find that at crimesagainsthumanitytour.com. And the last note I'll make before I throw it back to you, Mike, in case you got any events you want to plug, next Sunday, also happening in Houston, I really want to invite anybody out there who's interested, a collaborative effort between myself, Micah, Johnny, the Houston Freedom Cell, and Visionary Noise, of course, and the House of Jay. We're putting on together what we're just calling Houston's Day of Community Solutions, emphasizing the unity in that community there. And it's going to be a mix of things. There's going to be, I think, three or four musical artists. We have about four or five, maybe six vendors selling everything from honey to local crafts to T-shirts and all kinds of things. And then there's going to be workshops on beekeeping, on native plants that are, you know, native to Texas, to Houston, on community organizing, on how to get your technology more kind of structured and secure and all those kinds of things. So it's going to be all about solution, just the full day of community solutions, as is titled. This is happening 4 to 10 p.m. in Houston, Texas, at the Garage Mahal event. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Garage Mahal. It's been a kind of a new place for me. I've never been until just last week. I went to go check it out in preparation for this event here. But it is a pretty cool event over on the East End, not quite, actually, yeah, this is just about in the third ward of Houston, over not far from all the Doshi House, for those who know Doshi House in third ward. And it's a pretty cool spot, warehouse spot, and it's run by John Tran, for those who know Houston yoga, very popular yoga teacher in Houston who now lives in Mexico. That's where I connected with him. He's famous for doing a lot of big yoga teaching in Discovery Green downtown. Anyways, he's got the Garage Mahal in the third ward. It's running by his friends. They still host yoga classes and things of that sort. You can find out about this event on Facebook if you are interested. You just search Houston's Day of Community Solutions. I'm also showing it the flyer for this on screen for those who are watching the broadcast. Houston's Day of Community Solutions, May 22nd. 4 to 10 p.m. We're asking $5 towards donation to the yoga studio and all kinds of fun stuff. So check it out, guys. That's just something I want to share. Crimes Against Humanity Tour, this weekend's Exit and Build Land Summit, Houston's Day of Community Solutions. There's plenty to get involved in, whether you're in Houston or wherever else. And if you're not in Houston, you're hearing this, you're like, that sounds cool, I'd like to do that. Well, here's a tip. Get connected to people in your community. Go find out about who's doing the beekeeping, who's growing food and growing plants, and connect with them and say, hey, I want to put an event. Go find a venue, organize it, tell your friends, promote it, send it to us. We'll help promote it. And before you know it, you'll bring people together and good things will happen. But yeah, I just wanted to plug those couple of events. Mike, if you got any events you want to plug before we dive into the news, feel free.
No, those events all sound really good. I like the land seminar, the Exit and Build It. That sounded interesting. And of course, the other two events you went into in detail, they sounded good as well. There are always some great events going on all over Houston. We'd like to get the word out on events like you just did with these, and we do almost every single episode. So if you've got events you want us to get into, you think you know, would fit us in some way to mention on the show, then, you know, reach out to us with those events. Drop them in a email to us. You can email at visionarynoise@gmail. Yeah, I did see some heavy shows coming to Acadia. I saw, you know, more than a few heavy shows coming up in the long distance in this new venue, Black Magic. I forget the rest of it, but just kind of an overview of upcoming shows. I see a lot more shows, you know, coming back to the venues in Houston, some strong shows. And, you know, just like this radio show reaches, you know, so many people on the FM spread out in a geographic area, all these venues and all these places are all over the place. It's always exciting to do something downtown, and we tend to focus on that. And I'm sure that's the way in other cities as well. But also, there's a lot of people out in the suburbs that are interested in the dialogue, interested in the conversation, people down on the beach, you know, listening to the music, you know, that we're playing on the show today. So yeah, for sure. We want to make sure we're reaching as far as we can. So if you've got an event going on in Galveston, if you've got an event going on up in Conroe, Livingston, Huntsville, you know, and it's all about what we're about, then we definitely want to, you know, get into it. We want to discover the music ourselves. So, you know, share that with us. I'd like to, that's what I want to do with my time to talk about events. So yeah, let's
absolutely keep doing that. Okay. All right, well, let's do it. Let's go ahead and jump into it, guys. Again, you're listening to Freethinker Radio. My name is Derek Bros. I'm here with Micah Jackson. We've been broadcasting since summer of 2011, so over 10 years now, bringing you uncensored news and underground music, and that's what we're going to do today. These first couple of stories relate to our perennial topic, or what has become a perennial topic, COVID-19, and then the rest will be focusing on gas prices, inflation, food shortages, all that good stuff we've been hearing about and now dealing with firsthand. Let's go first off. I don't think we've covered, at least not in depth, this recently announced disinformation governance board, but it's something that's worth talking about. And what I'm going to pull from today is from a Wall Street Journal opinion piece that was published on their online edition. But just a little bit of background for those who might not be familiar. Just in recent weeks, it was announced that Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, he said to Congress that he was going to create a disinformation governance board, which of course immediately was met with jokes about, like, you know, the Ministry of Truth from 1984. And I think rightly so in many cases, especially as we learn more about who was going to be the board's director. This disinformation governance board would be a Wilson Center former global fellow, Nina Jankowicz, who was soon on display from an earlier TikTok video she made of herself as Mary Poppins. So this is Micah at the height of COVID, maybe even before COVID, actually, if I'm remembering correctly. She's singing about alleged disinformation, like Russian related stuff, whatever they want to say, right? So she dressed up as Mary Poppins and she does some silly TikTok video singing about disinformation. And it had the lyric, "They're laundering disinfo and we really should take note." And so, you know, this kind of opinion writer goes on expressing their thoughts on it. But I think there's a couple of key points here. It says, last weekend, Mr. Mayorkas, again from Homeland Security, Department of Homeland Security, was on Fox News expressing wide-eyed wonder at the controversy over Disinformation Governance Board, which he claimed is only about, quote, disinformation from Russia, from China, from Iran, and from the cartels. But, the writer says, foreign propaganda isn't quite how the board's proposed singing director, Mrs. Jankowicz, defines the national security threat from disinformation. And they basically, people have been going back to, like, previous work that she's done at the Wilson Center and her previous tweets, which I think is relevant because this woman is going to decide, you know, what is deemed disinformation, et cetera, and how, you know, people might be punished or removed from the internet based on spreading this alleged disinformation. So we should have some understanding of how she chooses to interpret that definition. And in this article they found that she put out, she defines the national security threat from disinformation as extending to something called gendered and sexualized disinformation. Not sure what that means, but it also says that when she was at the Wilson Center, she led a team that released a report in January, so not a long time ago, just this past year, on social media, quote, impacts of gendered and sexualized disinformation on women in public life as its corresponding impacts on national security and democratic participation. And the report says, quote, disinformation involves spreading of rumors or alleged facts, often of a sexual nature, in order to humiliate, discredit, or disempower the subject. And it goes into talking about people questioning Kamala Harris's citizenship status and that this is some sort of like attack on intersectional women of color and marginalized communities. And it's sort of, you know, you can kind of see where her politics are. But this article in the bigger picture is just saying, like, this is a horrible idea. Quote, when Democrats, the media, or the country's huge domestic security agencies start tossing around words and phrases like disinformation governance, gendered abuse, misinformation, false narratives, one hopes that they don't profess shock that some people think they're being euphemized into silence. The Biden administration has a full plate. Ukraine, inflation, the border, Joe Manchin, the disinformation governance board is a terrible idea. Pull the plug, shut it down now. Miss Jankowicz can return to her forays and to satirical cabaret. The rest of us can return to the blah, 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 you know, Twitter, something. But yeah, I just thought that was worth mentioning. Again, this particular piece coming from the Wall Street Journal called Pull the Plug on the Disinformation Governance Board, but obviously not the only person with an opinion or a thought on this right now. And I think it is a very real concern. One of the reasons they're announcing this Disinformation Governance Board and the supposed necessity of it is because we're approaching the midterm elections, Micah, in the coming after the summer. You know, we're now in the primary season for the next midterm elections, where the Democrats are largely expected to lose seats and the Republicans are you know, planning to take hold and start banning all the books they don't like or whatever. You know, it's kind of sad, unfortunately, because I think some people, and this is not to get off on a tangent, but just briefly, I think that some people who are in our circles and maybe even people who follow our work, who know that they don't align with this kind of talk about disinformation governance boards and misinformation, and they don't really like the things their kids are being taught in school, or, you know, they have concerns about COVID and bodily autonomy and that sort of stuff. At the same time, those people seem to fall, which is fucking against for 10 years now, of believing that, oh, well, then the other side, the Republicans, they must have all the answers for us, right? When in reality, as far as I can see, it's like, okay, the Republicans are happy to call things disinformation and ban them if it serves them, right? Like right now, they want to ban books they say are promoting critical race theory. And I could sympathize with some of their concerns, but their answers are just like government ban, you know, and some of these people, I don't think they can quite see how they're against disinformation governance boards and be in the banning in that sense. Like, don't take down COVID information just because you don't like it or because it doesn't agree with the World Health Organization. But then at the same time, they're like, yeah, ban the books if it says something about race or gender that we don't like or a version of history we don't like. So I think there's some people still getting trapped in that old left right thing, you know, looking for solutions and looking for love in all the wrong places, right?
Yeah, I think that it is the march of the left and the right, left, right, left, you know, towards authoritarianism, because a little while back, you know, remember, whether you agree with or disagree with, there were like all these claims of fake news, and people saying, look, you can't just dismiss everything and call it fake news. And in a way, this is the same, you know, the same posse coming right through, just, you know, under a different flag. So I think that's a great concern. And also, I think another thing about this that's really important is, you know, today's fake news is tomorrow's breaking news. You know, I mean, look at the, you know, go back a decade, weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, anthrax, all the things that brought in the Patriot Act, right, that we later found out weren't the case, right? You see what I'm saying? I mean, so how much more strength and resistance will this give authoritarians to people standing up and saying something? Seems like it gives it a lot of credence on the internet and puts tax dollars to work for it. That's kind of frustrating, you know, if it's I just think it's a dangerous tool in probably any authoritarian's hands.
Yep, I agree with you there, man. I think that I want to just say we put this question to our listeners, whether you're listening live right now or later at a different time. Do you support the efforts to ban topics like critical race theory or just other topics in general? Do you think banning is a solution, right? One side's telling us, you crazy COVID idiots are spreading disinformation, or you're believing Russian propaganda or whatever, right? Like you mentioned the weapons of mass destruction as those claims as reasons to be skeptical, right? We can even go back a little more recently and talk about, as we have, the Hunter Biden story and how the New York Post reported on that, one of the oldest newspapers, and then they get taken down off Twitter, and we're all told it's Russian disinformation being spread. You know, the intelligence community endorses this view. Nobody should trust it. Don't believe it. And then now, like, oh, a year and a half later, oh, whoops, by the way, that whole laptop thing, there is some truth there. There's an investigation going on. But don't pay attention. It doesn't have any relevance in what have gone in the past. So I just think that people fall into these traps. And so they might be against the censoring and the banning of alleged misinformation on one side. But then at the same time, people are like, well, I don't want my kids to hear this idea about sex or gender or the, you know, the history of American race, whatever. And so ban the books that talk about it, right? I don't think that's a winning solution, guys. So anybody out there who's listening on one side or the other of that debate, please take some time to reflect on the fact that banning things is not the answer. At least that's not where I'm coming from.
Yeah, definitely. That just sounds, you know, it's just such an overreaching topic, and it grew quickly from, you know, just being around Russian and COVID information to all kinds of other spheres. And I don't think people should be surprised about that, you know? So I know we got absolutely a lot more to get into and some music today. So what's next?
Let's jump ahead. We're going ahead now, guys, to our next little COVID bit here. And this is just a reminder. I think these next two, they're, again, not the most breaking news at the moment, but worth remembering that whatever we're dealing with hasn't ended. This has just been reported as of May 9th. The European Union has voted to extend vaccine passes until at least summer 2023, continuing with the controversial Checkpoint Society. So again, as most people, including where we're at in Texas. And now I can say visiting Texas, it's like things do seem pretty normal. I think most places feel that way, all the rolling back across the world. But then you got the European Union, members of the European Union voting to extend the vaccine passport program until June 2023, despite the fact that the controversial measures eroded civil liberties during the pandemic and they are winding down in other areas. The plan was approved by 432 votes, with 130 voting against it and 23 abstentions. It is now awaiting approval by the European Council. Before the vote, the president of the Parliament's Civil Liberties Community, Juan Fernando López Aguilar, noted that, quote, the pandemic is not over, further arguing that a time-limited extension is reasonable. Objecting the 12-month extension of the health pass was Italy's League Party, and they said it was, quote, harming the fundamental rights of their citizens. And they says, we'll be back here in plenary. We'll all be here voting in person. We're not wearing any mask, and we didn't need a certificate, she argued. Of course, you know, people are saying it's time to reopen tourism, et cetera. But only nine countries in the region still require the pass to enter their borders. Still, in some countries, the pass is required to access some venues. And regulation passed last week will require the European Commission to assess whether the pass is necessary and proportionate 6 months after its extension. And so, yeah, 6 months from now, I guess they're going to revisit. That's in summer 2023. That's whenever they'll start revisiting it. But like I said, just another reminder that this whole narrative, whatever your feelings or thoughts about COVID, it hasn't fully run its course yet, I don't believe. And have you seen that, Micah? I mean, I don't know how you feel about this whole situation. Like I was saying, coming back from Mexico, where things have been pretty chill, but there's definitely more masks than I would, you know, like or hope for. But, you know, things seem pretty calm in Texas. And now I've been in Texas, small towns, Austin, Houston, and things seem pretty calm. Only far and few between do I see people wearing masks or even worrying about it, it seems.
Yeah, in my experience, going to everything from art shows to music shows to shopping, I see, you know, occasionally I see people with masks, but it's definitely a very small minority. And it's been that way for quite some time. I see, you know, everybody's just doing what they want. Back in the day, they would probably mess with someone for wearing a mask. Now those people, they can wear a mask if they want. And if most of the society doesn't want to wear a mask, it's, from my experience thus far, it doesn't seem like it's, you know, quite the dramatic death march that some people said it would be if everyone didn't have a mask on. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think, again, like when we're talking about historical disinformation or misinformation or just bad reporting, however you want to put it, I think one of the things that sickens me the most about the last couple of years is just all the fear-mongering that we heard from people. And I'll say it, in the Houston area, Dr. Peter Hotez and others, the mayor, the health director, Dr. David Peirce, that, you know, there's zero chance that the unvaccinated or the unmasked are going to make it through these coming weeks, more than a year ago, right? They're all that fear mongering. And will there ever be accountability? I think that based on the lessons of the Iraq war, we can say not. But I wanted to mention one other story before we get to a new song tonight. This is one that we might have covered a week or two ago, but I felt like it was worth mentioning again, just in line to what we're talking about here. Because again, it feels like people think that not only the effects, like the lockdowns and these other things, but just the impact of COVID and everything else in the last 2 years, it's still being felt. And in ways like this, was just reported in late April by the New York Post. Majority of troops kicked out for COVID vax refusal received general discharges. So it says of 3,400 troops who've been involuntarily separated from service, that's an interesting way to say it, involuntarily separated from service, for refusing to get the COVID vaccine, about 70% have received general discharges, service personnel chief said on Wednesday. This characterization secures that their veteran benefits and in many cases allows them to rejoin the military if they decide to get the vaccine. The remaining discharges have been honorable, officials told lawmakers during a Senate Armed Services Committee hearing, though they did not provide details explaining the reason behind choosing one characterization over the other. And it says, in fall, as the services announced their mandatory vaccination policies, a number of Republican lawmakers pushed back with concerns that troops might be given dishonorable discharges that could strip them of veterans' benefits, as well as concerns that readiness would take a hit if thousands of members were kicked out. And they claimed at the time, and I think they still claim that, you know, it hasn't been affected by any means at all. And the Marine Corps has kicked out the most 168 total, 20% of whom received an honorable discharge. And they say this is amounts to just under 1% of their total force. And, you know, other, they go into Navy's kicked out almost 800 sailors, and the Army has separated 345 soldiers. Air Force has separated 287 airmen. Space Force hasn't had to separate anyone, they claim. And yeah, I mean, but the reality again is like, look, people are still losing their jobs. You don't have to agree with the job of the military service, but it's a job for some people. Once some of them want it to be a career, a lifelong passion, and, you know, fight for their country, et cetera. And they're being discharged because they don't want to play the game.
Well, I think one of the most interesting aspects of this that we were talking about during, I don't know, maybe 8 months ago or so, was the fact that there was a lot of news about the possibility of dishonorable discharges and such. But there was concern that such discharges would be, you know, fought the way some of the mandates were fought in the courts. And there would be individuals who said it was unconstitutional, which would, you know, kind of be like if they fought the Patriot Act all the way up and it was deemed unconstitutional. So you can't have, you can't really have that happen in a court. It's too big a loss. So I think that obviously all that media that was reporting that kind of helped, you know, probably drive some service members who might have been on the edge that didn't fully get it, you know, or get the weight of it, or just had too much on their mind to make that decision at that moment, probably went ahead, some at least, and got vaccinated, you know, thinking, well, I can't get a dishonorable discharge. I got a baby or something, you know, I've got to go and, you know, how people think, you know, I've got to be able to support my life and my child. So they probably went ahead and went along with the system. But I think it's also frustrating that these people are discharged, you know, if they don't want to be, because like you said, involuntarily separated, because at the core of it, it's supposed to be to what's that oath they take, you know, to defend the Constitution, which is the very thing that they were saying, you know, they might be able to stand on to contest and did stand on to contest mandates, as we addressed numerous articles from different courts during that time that such arguments were being used and won over in court. So I think that's why the general discharge was the least discharge available. And I am glad that some of those guys and girls got honorable discharges, because I'm sure they probably did, you know, work well or something. But I think it's a frustrating thing, as I said, because it excludes all these people, as you mentioned, not just from the job, but also from like the idea. What if they were in here? They are individuals willing to stand up for bodily autonomy, you know, and this myth about the abortion issue. This is a serious, you know, analog to it. How do you feel about, you know, is it, do you own the rights to your body? So if you do, then these individuals that are standing up in the military saying, I won't be vaccinated, you know, it's unfortunate, but they're standing up whether they realize it or not, because it just might be a purely selfish health concern or something. They're standing up for the freedom to choose not to go along with the collective, with what you do with your body. And I think it's really sad to see such people removed from defending the Constitution and questioning and whistleblowing on the things that go on, you know, near the heart of the war machine. So that's my view on that one.
All right, I appreciate that, Micah. Well, guys, we're about halfway through with the show. We're going to play a new song from Jeremy Carswell. Micah, you want to tell us about this one? And we'll play this song and we'll come back. We're going to be getting into quite a few stories related to gas, inflation, food prices. We'll share our personal experiences. And if you guys got comments, we'd love to hear from you as well. But first, let's hear about this song, Micah.
As you know, Jeremy Carswell has been guest on the show before. We've been playing different music of his for a while. He's played benefit shows supporting various causes in Houston and beyond, and recently had a video of Too Much drop. This song is called Luxury. It's a less played track off of his recently dropped 2025. So, yeah, let's get into it. It's a diverse album.
So messed up, I couldn't care.
All right. Welcome back to Freethinker Radio, 90.1 KPFT Houston. My name is Derek Brose. I'm here with Micah Jackson, and you were just listening to Jeremy Carswell. That was a pretty cool song. I definitely dig it. And he's got the good futuristic but 80s dance vibes going on.
You know, I'm really happy to be able to, you know, broadcast in so many ways with you, Derek, on FM and through the various online platforms. It's nice to see the comments and the suggestions coming in as we do the show, both on the articles and obviously on the song we just played. You know, here we have, you know, nice straight edge retro, or is that new romantic? I like that phrase, new romantic, sweet, very listenable, danceable, harkens back to a solid time in niche pop music. I don't know. It's good to be able to get music and ideas out and interact with people in a broadcast way. So thank you to all the musicians that share their music, come on as guests, the artists, etc. So hit us up. Thanks. Thanks for the comments, and thanks for paying attention to Freethinker Radio here on KPFT or wherever you're listening to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll just say that as we go into the second half of the show today, and we're going to be covering some gas price inflation, et cetera. I just had a comment over here on Rockfin for our last conversation before the break. Brian Fouch, sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, Brian, says that I live in D.C. It's a mix here with a handful of people still wearing masks, even outside. The really unfortunate thing is that a substantial amount of businesses are choosing to require vaccination to enter or work, or they received grant money and they must enforce vax requirements even if they don't want it. And I think that's really interesting as well, because I can tell you that in the last 2 weeks that I've been home in Houston and kind of just exploring, and, you know, 5 months didn't seem that long, but things change fast in 5 months, especially in COVID times. And I've just seen more. I've seen at least a handful of businesses, I'll say, that are now saying we're cashless. You know, we're no longer accepting cash, and they're just kind of like, deal with it as a customer. I'm like, I'm standing here at the counter. I have money in my hand. You're telling me you don't want these pieces of paper. And that, of course, that narrative was pre-existing before COVID, like a lot of this stuff, but was definitely one of the narratives that got a boost because of COVID times. And so, like he's saying, I've seen businesses I don't know if we want to name businesses on air. Just, I don't want to, you know, create an issue with anybody, but there are some of our favorite old school record shops, Micah, that are in Houston right now and who have signs on the door that say only vaxxed allowed indoors. And I don't know how they're checking that, or, you know, the deal is with that on that. If it's just, you know, they assume if they put it on there, people who aren't vaccinated won't come in, but very unfortunate to see. So thanks for sharing that comment, Brian.
Definitely, you know, I'm glad that comment is very important, Derek. And also, I've seen this these sort of posts on it's kind of like the masks thing. I see it on a minority of businesses, but I've seen it, and I've wondered too. You know, what are they going to do, really? You know, so we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Well, we're going to continue on now, guys. We got a few stories here. I'm going to hit up one, Micah, and then I know you had a couple that were from the last few weeks' shows. Our shows have been just sort of jumbled up recently. Hopefully everybody hasn't noticed, and at least they're coming out, you know, sounding good and live to you. But myself and Micah and Johnny, we're all very busy people. So sometimes we got all three of us here, we only got one or two of us here. And it's important that I think we reemphasize some of these stories. So the first one I got from Axios.com, just reported in the last week and a half here. And it says, simple title, gas prices hit all-time new high. It says the national average price for regular gasoline jumped to a new all-time high of $4.37 a gallon on Tuesday. This is Tuesday as of, just a couple of days ago, breaking the previous record set in March by 4 cents, according to AAA. It says the new record, which isn't adjusted for inflation, so that's important as well. It's not adjusted for the inflation, comes as rising prices put pressure on the Biden administration to help consumers. Diesel prices also hit a new high of $5.50 a gallon. And Biden is expected to announce a plan. I don't think this has been announced. I was looking for this. It was supposed to be announced this week, helping Americans mitigate the cost of inflation. That could be related to some of the Federal Reserve's actions, but I'll have to look that up. But again, as you said earlier, Micah, now it's like here's the sort of the big picture. The big picture, this is what they want you to take away. The price of gas has remained high since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, disrupted energy markets, and drove up costs. That's the only thing that has happened here. There's nothing else going on that predates that. It's all about Russia, right? It's, again, just like with COVID, a convenient way to blame things on what's happening in front of us that have kind of deeper issues. And I have heard someone else point out in some other research I've been looking into that I think that, again, just like COVID pushes certain narratives, we want more surveillance, oh, it's going to help contact trace. It's going to help detect COVID. Oh, we want to move towards cashless society because cash is bad and it spreads diseases and COVID. Well, this spike in gas prices, which we're being told is because of Ukraine and Russia, is also convenient for people who want to push towards more of electric cars, the Green New Deal, things that they haven't been able to pass, like the Build Back Better agenda, which was part of the Biden agenda, that terminology coming from the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. They haven't been able to pass these big bills and these big visions they've had. They've pretty much been failure at that. And that's what the Republicans are going to be talking about this coming midterm elections. But it's just so I don't know. I just want to say, like, again, it checks off somebody's boxes who was like, hey, wouldn't it be nice if people started driving less? Well, if gas prices continue to go up, that might be one foreseen or unforeseen consequence of that. And that could push people to start considering things like vehicles, considering, you know, other areas that they might not have previously. But what do you think about that, Micah, just this spike in the gas price?
I think the major thing that you've said to kind of think about, there's a few points, but one that kind of gets passed over quickly is not adjusted for inflation. Well, not adjusted for inflation, let's do the math. If you take a silver quarter, you're talking about $4.50. So at one point, when gas around, you know, 40, 50 cents, I mean, when was that? Is that not equivocal buying power as, you know, $5 today? And that's kind of what I'm getting to is, you know, we've been talking since before COVID when they first do it, when the overnight lending rate went above 10% and they started basically quantitative easing again and continued stimmy checks. You know, everybody is happy about them and PPP loans and all of these things where, you know, they didn't tax you to pay for that. They inflated the currency. So, you know, there's a lot more money out there as well. So if we can just blame this for the rise in price of that and that for the rise in price of this, and if gas goes up, then everything goes up. You see, it's kind of a domino thing once you take not adjusted for inflation out of the equation. No, inflation. Let's go with the actual, you know, meaning of it. When currency's debauched by increasing its supply, by watering it down, that's what's happened. And, you know, it's coming home to roost. And as more and more companies could do it. But as more and more nations, you know, divest and cease using the petrodollar, that's just more and more of these dollars in both digital and paper just coming back here, gobbling up goods and services wherever they can. And what's that going to do? You know, it's going to drive up the prices. And, you know, what's happening meantime? You see people not wanting to work is what one side says. And then another group of people says that they can't find, you know, affordable, you know, what is it called? You know, basically livable wage jobs. So, you know, what's happening there? I mean,
living wage.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much what I see with it.
Word. Yeah. I think hopefully everybody hearing that can, I mean, I think that most people, that's something often, I think when we get into the potential warnings of inflation and the food shortages and the gas prices, because again, this is something we've been talking about on the show for at least a year. And I can't say that I have always followed my own advice to a T, but there are some things that I have steps I've taken in my life to be a little more prepared for this. I mean, I've been really trying to get people to think about, you know, when you think about your money sitting in the bank and in terms of inflation, of it slowly losing its value over time and things getting more and more expensive, most people, especially when I talk to family and friends, I'm like, hey guys, did you hear about this? You know, how do you, to my stepdad, for example, or just other family members, like, what do you think about these gas prices going up? I don't know. It just seems like most people, average people, are just choose to be, for one reason or another, victims of circumstance. You know, they're not all forward thinking. They're not really thinking like, hey, this might be, you know, they get, it's a conspiracy in their mind that there could be some sort of planning or that anybody could be benefit. This is all just sort of the world unfolding in front of us, right? And so we all just have to live with the consequences of it. And when you have that kind of approach, then things happen to you, as opposed to recognizing the things that we've been warning about, like we're going to get into in a moment, the food banks and how they've been hit hard. We've been telling you guys for over a year how the food banks in Houston were really strained during COVID-19 and that these things have been building up over time. We did a story a couple of weeks ago, the Biden administration, the World Health Organization, and others kind of openly saying they're expecting food prices and food shortages in the next 6 to 8 months. And then the gas prices were part of that, right? So for anybody who might have heard that information 6, 7, 8 months, 10 months, a year ago that we've been talking about this, you might have taken some steps in your life that maybe you feel a little better. But I'll just say a little bit of you know, unrequested advice. If you got money sitting in the bank, it's probably better being invested in you. And what I mean by that is, if you don't, you know, you're not into crypto and you don't want to put your money into crypto, you're not into silver and gold, you don't want to put your money into precious metals, and you don't just want to put it, stuff it in the mattress or the safe at home, but you don't really want to keep it in the bank either. Well, maybe start taking some of that money out and investing it in yourself, not necessarily in a stock per se, but maybe you had an interest in learning about that beekeeping or how to, you know, grow your own crops or how to, you know, bottle medicines and all kinds of things that you might have some vague general interest or even a hobby in, that you could take some of the money that's sitting in the bank and just being used to go fund all kinds of Federal Reserve surveillance, Great Reset projects, because you can't control that. And instead, put some of that money into taking one of those courses, because that way, at least you're giving yourself knowledge, skills, you're empowering yourself, right? Instead of it just sitting in the bank and empowering the banks. That to me is at least one step. So, you know, we don't want to be all doom and gloom here, but these are realities. Like I was saying a couple moments ago, Micah, you know, coming back from Mexico, for one, Mexico gas is, it's a little different because it's measured in liters, right? But generally speaking, since I've been out there the last 2 years, I've estimated that I'm probably paying $3.50 to $4 a gallon. When it's all said and done. And that's been hitting me hard. I'm like, dang, it's so expensive to drive to Mexico. It, you know, where usually like in Houston, it might cost $50 to fill up the Jeep. It could be $70 in different parts of Mexico. But that's all obviously changing. Now it's basically the same price out here when it coming from Mexico to the US. I was like, wow, I thought it was going to be cheaper to come home and be in Houston where gas is always cheap and whatever else. And yeah, it's been interesting to come back and kind of get that reality check. So I do think this is something that people need to be paying attention to.
And I think you're right, Derek. And I think that the point about investing in yourself, I'd like to go ahead and take that to a little bit broader place for a moment. I know a lot of people, you know, they trade time of their life for money so that they can, you know, get to a dream or get to have vacation and see their children and go places. I don't know, all these different motivations, right? But also, you know, a lot of people know this, but you get a 15-minute break every 4 hours by law. And no matter how hard you're working, that job can only be so important, right? There's all kinds of ways you can do things for yourself even there. I mean, you could do some push-ups, do a little bit of exercise. Don't just sit around. There's all kinds of ways to take back for yourself and to invest in yourself, both with money that you may have saved or are investing. I think that's a great, great insight, Derek. But also with your time, lots of ways you can do things with your time to build up yourself. I see a lot of people doing these language apps, you know, those are tremendously interesting. There's a lot of capacity and power in these new tools that have come about in the last 10 years just to enrich yourself. It's amazing. So, you know, I think there's lots of reasons to be positive for empowerment and people growing as a species. So I appreciate you pointing out that aspect about investing, you know, perhaps stagnant money, for lack of a better word.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Guys, we're listening to Freethinker Radio. We've got about 12 minutes with you today, and we do this every week on 90.1 KPFT in Houston, kpft.org. If you appreciate community-supported, listener-supported, commercial-free, corporate-free radio where we can talk about these kinds of topics in a very real and frank manner, then please consider going to kpft.org and making an investment, a donation, and let them know you're doing so in the name of Freethinker Radio, that so they can understand that content like this and conversations like this are important to you out there wherever you're listening from. Again, that's kpft.org. And if you want to find our work, you can find that at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. Okay, well, let's continue. Michael, let's jump into this next one, because
let's hit some of these comments that we had real quick. Let's hit some of these comments real quick, because you mentioned the conversation and it's been pretty active tonight. You know, people are saying things out there like their kid couldn't buy things at the ball game in Philly's. They see that the home heating oil prices have gone up, you know, just all kinds of things. And, you know, people supporting the ideas of the classes and people supporting not being a victim of circumstances and such. So also bartering. So I just wanted to go ahead and mention, you know, because this is what this show's all about, is getting minds engaged and finding solutions. So thank you, everybody who's engaged in the show and supporting in so many ways.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Micah. And thank you, Donna and Daniel and Brian and everybody else who is commenting. We appreciate it. And everybody else listening at KPFT. And we got people listening on DLive, on Facebook, Rockfin, and Odyssey. So let's continue this one. Just a couple of headline mentions. These are sort of self-explanatory, but again, they're signs of the times, to say the least. Micah, this is one you pulled up. I'll just read the two headlines, and if you want to expand on it, feel free. White House will host first food insecurity conference in 50 years. This was reported Wednesday, May 4th by CNN. And just again, for the reference, the last time the White House hosted a conference focused on food insecurity was more than 50 years ago with Richard Nixon, and hosted the White House Conference on Food, Nutrition, and Health in 1969, which led to expansion on the food stamp program, et cetera, et cetera. And so, and here it goes, CNN highlighting it for us, even though we don't need them to, but just to remind you, the conference comes as skyrocketing grocery prices and supply chain problems further contribute to food insecurity, exacerbating already existing issues and making it harder for Americans to shop for weekly food staples. And Biden said in a video announcing the conference, quote, "Too many families don't know where they're going to get their next meal. Too many empty chairs around the kitchen table because a loved one was taken by heart disease, diabetes, or other diet-oriented diseases, which are some of the leading causes of death in our country," right? So that's the headline, right? And to me, I'll just say my little brief piece on this while we get to the second headline. To me, again, this is all going towards just more have the government in control, right? Like Green New Deal, everybody should be driving less. We need electric vehicles. We should put the government in charge of distributing food and making sure everybody's getting fed healthy, et cetera. Second headline from Wednesday, May 4th, also from CNN, we're in danger of running out of food. Higher prices and demand squeeze food banks. And they get into a story about workers in Virginia, what this local woman is food wrangling, making sure the chapel at Eastern Shore Chapel Episcopal Church has enough groceries to provide its clients. And again, this is as soaring inflation eats away at what people can afford at the supermarket. Federal pandemic relief programs have ended, supply chain problems. I mean, again, like, I don't know how much of this we should buy just whole, you know, fist and like just wholesale, just believe everything that's happening here. But we can see the realities around us. We can see the gas prices going up. We can see these things. We can hear the truckers talking about potential gas prices. I don't know if you guys have seen that one going around in the last couple of days. Truckers being warned in the next 1 to 2 weeks that diesel could run out for them on the East Coast because of some of these issues. What I'm saying is, I don't know if we should 100% believe the reasons they're claiming this is happening, or even 50%. But it is happening, right? We can argue and debate about why it's happening, but in the meantime, people are feeling it. People can buy less at the grocery store. They can buy less gas. They're being more conscientious. And this is something that we do need to do. Just to add to one other thought to this, Micah, I saw a meme floating around which is where I got that original idea of like investing in yourself. And it was just kind of a little food for thought, like saying, hey, if you see all this stuff happening in the world and you have these same concerns, then maybe we should just be a little more wise in what we're spending our money on. Doesn't mean you should be miserable, but maybe you should rethink, do I need to order three large pizzas this weekend and eat drink $100 at the bar? Or should I maybe find some other more valuable way to invest that money again in myself or my time, or just put it away, whatever, knowing all these things are going on, right? Again, to me, knowledge is power. If we see this happening and we can acknowledge this, I would hate to be in 6 months from now, Micah, broadcasting this show, and me and you hadn't ate in 1 week because we just don't have any extra food. And, you know, who knows? I'm not saying that's where how drastic things are going to get. And, you know, but I just, in general, the idea of knowing what's coming and not being prepared out of lack of choices or laziness or whatever, it's not a feeling I want to experience. So what do you think about that food conference for the first time in 50 years and, you know, inflation on the rise?
I thought the headline, like you said, the headline pretty much alone gets into it. It's kind of I hate to praise it too much in any sort of way, but it is interesting to see the focus on food-related illnesses, diabetes, obesity, et cetera. Things that, you know, during COVID, people weren't talking about getting healthy. They probably should have been, right? You know, we did. But that aspect's kind of interesting. But, you know, the fact that it's driven by all the various aspects of trouble that we see in the food market, as each of those articles mentioned, soaring food inflation, you know, this is something that's not counted in the inflation stats anymore, But it looks like food inflation is what, something like almost 30%. So yeah, and then you know we see different story after different story that are related to you know food stability. So yeah, it's not surprising that for the first time in a half a century, the White House is having a meeting on that. But you, like you said, you know, not sure exactly what to buy into because even some of these stories, you know, they you could see the some aspects of I guess for a philosophy, for lack of a better word, that they have of, you know, since the government COVID relief has ended, you know, it's more difficult for these people since this has ended, and all that's true. But you know, it's all this stuff that's added to a story about food inflation, you know, to you know, so it's kind of a logical conclusion in the people's eyes later on that, yeah, we have to have those programs, you know, we have to have these extra new programs now to support people. And, you know, you can say what you want because I'm sure there's lots of people on the top just, you know, milking the system as we're speaking about banksters and corrupt corporations and corporatism. But also just because, you know, looting isn't any better just because, you know, you need extra COVID benefits. So I think that's a little frustrating to see those sort of aspects or hues of glasses that they wear philosophically making its way into all these stories. But that's the purpose of a news analysis show, is to kind of reveal a little bit of that while also, you know, carrying us along. So I'm glad we're covering this stuff because it's happening and it's important to see it.
Yeah, absolutely, Micah. Well, I got this other one pulled up. I don't know if you can see the screen. This one, it kind of expands. You were getting into a little bit, but it expands upon what we were just touching on in this one. The inflation draining your wallet, grocery cart, and gas tank is far steeper than 8%. Did you want to hit any points on this one?
Yeah, move that down a moment. That one, I think, is the main thing to realize is that they've taken so many things out of what's counted as inflation nowadays, that the numbers that they're reporting are really less than what you're actually probably seeing and your average person seeing. You know, I think that's the thing. They don't count fuel costs. They don't count food costs. I don't believe they count housing costs either. And so these are some of the things that we've seen grow the most. And look at this one here. That's exactly where I wanted to go. You know, we're talking about food here. Ground beef is up 15% just since last March. Boneless stew, 25%. I mean, stew, you know, up a quarter. Bacon, up a quarter. Chicken breasts up almost 20%. Eggs up 20, over a quarter. Milk up almost 20%. And frozen orange juice concentrate. This stuff burns your throat. I don't know. I'm not a big supporter of that. Maybe I get the luxury of being here and we have the valley down there growing all kinds of oranges. 20% pretty much. And ground coffee up 15.8%. Meanwhile, fuel oil is up 71.5% and utility gas at 25%. These are things that aren't counted in their inflation stats that they're saying are running, you know, 10 and 11% and such. So I want to point that out. Can you imagine if they're adding this in, what real inflation was? And what the fact is, this is how they used to calculate inflation, was adding all these different categories of stuff up in the averages and saying the gain that had. But yeah, so more dollars chasing less and less food. So that's, you know, is it by design? Is it by accident? Is it like consequential? You know, it seems like even, you know, even good actions have consequences. So I definitely think it's consequential, but on what?
Yeah. And I just want to mention while we start to wrap up today's show that this comes on the heels, everything we've discussed today, and like the average person really feeling the hit, gas prices, food prices, supply chain stuff, that all this is not going to only affect your gas, but it's going to affect the gas of the people trying to deliver the food, which is going to affect the cost of the food. And it's going to, you know, it has this effect that's going to ripple out. And while that's happening, they're giving the U.S. government, your quote unquote representatives, are giving $40 billion. Is that right, Micah, to Ukraine for aid? I mean, that can't be right. I swear that can't be right.
That's correct. $40 billion. And it's backed by every voting Democrat and nearly 3 out of 4 Republicans. So that's what you get when they work together, you know, and you just got to ask yourself how much of it's really going to get to the people in the Ukraine that need the help. and how much of it's going to somehow go to the military industrial complex to send arms to go fight Russians while we pretend like we're not being antagonistic. I don't know. Maybe not we, but we should say they. So I think that's a little bit frustrating. And I know a lot of people do, you know, see it as, you know, Russia, big bad Russia, and simple, poor, straightforward Ukraine. But there is $8.8 billion in economic support for Ukraine. Who knows what that'll go on? $4 billion to help Ukraine and allies finance arms and equipment purchases. Where are they going to get these equipment
from? I just want to add, as we're about to start wrapping up here, and just since we got the latest update since we brought it up, in fact, Micah, Rand Paul delayed the $40 billion in aid for Ukraine as of just Thursday evening, so late Thursday. Now, that doesn't mean that's not going to change. I imagine they're going to do what they can to get it through, but I just wanted to make sure we're putting that out correctly. But either way, $40 billion being considered while people are struggling to get gas, people are struggling to get food, put food on the plate. They're having to go to food banks, and the food banks are being squeezed, et cetera. This is a reality just to think about, man. And again, I want to emphasize that this more than likely is only going to get worse before it gets better. Maybe in the next episode, I mean, those of you who know my work, you know how I feel and what I write about this. I do think it's being engineered. I think all the signs point to that. But whether that's true or I can be, you know, that can be true, proven or not, the results are the same. You are going to struggle to get food, to get gas, and it's going to be tough for a lot of us. And I think that's something that people need to start to really come to terms with until, you know, until it's here. And then we have to, I guess, face it. But in the meantime, be prepared, live free, happy lives, and help who you can. Anything else, Micah?
Yeah, just help who you can, love, empower, all the same word, right? You know, smile. You know, what else can we do in the face of this?
And guys, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Wasn't even true. Ritualistic mass murder, deception, it are new. Cause the goal of the system is making a slave of you or the material. Things don't matter, they unfulfilling. What we really need to get to the root of what they concealing. They oppress us, suppress us, repress us like they possess us. Promise of progress and promising changes when they address us in our faces. So blatant, surrounded by their symbology. They shape the whole system and cultural anthropology. So bet your last fuck that it sucks. Not successful success for my struggling people, the world stressful. The best thing that we can do is learn to think together. Since this ref and numbers, I suggest we interlink together. Cause our system that is ground, let us down. United States, the state, someone had to step up and said it's time to set them straight.
The whole system let me down, and I won't trust it.
Thank you. I'm Max Blumenthal from thegrayzone.com, and I regret to inform you that I'm a member of the media, the worst profession in the country. Actually, I'm one of the good ones. We'll talk about that in a second. I want to talk about what's been happening in the world for the last 2 years, because for 2 years, we have seen one of the biggest grassroots movements unfold before our eyes, the medical freedom movement, which has seen millions of people around the world march against unscientific, anti-worker mandates in their own societies, from the indigenous Bolivians of El Alto, to Moroccans of Casablanca, to Iranians in Tehran, from Beirut to Berlin to Boston to Los Angeles. And what is this about? It's about decent working people around the world trying to hold on to their humanity, their basic rights, their bodily autonomy, and their very sanity in the face of a cold and ruthless machine that seeks to reduce every individual to a QR code and condition their participation in society and their very ability to work on their willingness to take an experimental gene therapy. That is unacceptable. And you know what else is unacceptable? Those who try to make this into a right versus left issue. All they're trying to do is confuse, divide, hoodwink, and bamboozle on behalf of the billionaire class that represents the real winners of this pandemic. This is not about left versus right. This is about our economic rights, our human rights, and our constitutional rights. And that's why we're here today. We've watched for the past 2 years as Big Pharma and its oligarchic investors puppeteered our governments, putting the FDA and CDC in its back pocket while turning our politicians into corporate sales reps, guaranteeing Pfizer and Moderna combined profits of $65,000 per minute. Per minute! Using your bodies as profit centers while working class Americans suffered the sharpest increase in poverty in 50 years. We've watched the wealth of the world's 10 richest men double since the lockdown began. We have watched small businesses be destroyed, entire countries plunge deeper into debt, while the most vulnerable youth were deprived of their right to education. And now in New York City, we watch as wealthy and famous celebrities are allowed to work without a mandate, but healthy firefighters, medical workers, and teachers, people doing the most important jobs in this country, are not allowed to work because they disobey the mandate. And we are here to say, let them work! 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 That's right. Listen to me. Listen to the profit-driven, anti-people system that I'm describing here. I'm sorry, but this is not socialism. This is corporatism. And we live in a corporate state, a ruthless, imperialist corporate state that exists in a permanent state of war and which divides to conquer and which created a false division between the vaccinated and unvaccinated in order to further shatter the solidarity of the 99%. I want to tell you about the most courageous journalist of our time. His name is Julian Assange. Make noise for Julian Assange. Free Julian Assange. Julian Assange, before he was a political prisoner, reminded us that every war of our lifetime, from Vietnam to Iraq to the NATO proxy war in Ukraine, has been sold to us with the lies of the corporate media. And this too is true of the war waged on the people of this country under the banner of a pandemic. Today, as we know, Julian Assange sits in a maximum security prison for exposing the lies of the national security state, and they are trying to kill him. And the same corporate apparatus that silenced Assange has set out to censor and smear anyone who has called out the lies that have given rise to a biomedical security state. Under the corporate state, character assassination, censorship, and official silencing is the price of telling the truth, and we understand that at the Gray Zone, and we will never stop telling the truth. And so I'm here on behalf of the part of the media that is still independent and still disobedient and still defiant and still says, F you, we won't do what you told me, to the stenographers and the shills and the war pigs of the corporate state. We will not be silenced and you will not win. Thank you, LA.
You're listening to Freethinker Radio on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.